we are celebrating today. We all love to celebrate, don't we? People love having celebrations. Christmas, Easter, of course, weddings, christenings. Why don't you turn to your neighbour, if you will, just for a second, and talk to each other about the best celebration you've ever been to. And then after about a minute or so, we'll come back. So what's the best celebration you've ever been to? Right. Have you all got an answer? Sort of? Anybody want to share with us what their best celebration was? Yes, that's an excellent celebration. I didn't have that on my list. Yeah, brilliant. What was special about it, other than it being his baptism? Excellent. So it had a knock-on effect, made you get baptized, which is great. Brilliant. That's a great reason. That's a good celebration. See, look, churches. We bring families together. Could be our new strap line. Anybody else want to share a favourite celebration or best celebration? Daughter's wedding last year. Great. I don't really need to ask what was great about it, unless there was anything specifically great about it, other than that she's no longer your responsibility. That's what my dad would say. Anyone else want to share? Good. I'm pleased. That makes me feel good. Today's a good celebration. Good. Well, look, we all like celebrating, and celebrations usually involve different things, don't they? Alcohol, food, probably more alcohol, and probably more food than you can even eat, more alcohol than you can drink. Christmas parties for works dues, I have found, have been a particular weakness of mine. So, yeah, we don't go there. We don't talk about that one. A right old knees up, as they might say in the East End. But what is the point of these things? Well, as we've said, weddings, we go to celebrate the love of a couple, and that's lovely. Fathers celebrate that they no longer have to deal with their daughters, and mothers cry because they no longer have to deal with their daughters. And then christenings, well, most people go, and they're not really sure why they're going to a christening, but they know there's going to be a celebration afterwards, so they're happy to go. And then we've got Christmas and Easter, and most people celebrate Christmas and Easter, and they think that Christmas is about receiving gifts and being kind to each other. And then when it comes to Easter, they have no idea, again, like christenings, what Easter is all about. For example, David Cameron, in his message on Premier Radio, which was then published in Premier Christianity on the website, he said that Easter was about hard work and discipline and a couple of other things. And he didn't mention the resurrection once. And so basically, David Cameron has no idea what Easter is about. And that, I think that's a pretty good indicator of the rest of the country. So the stock Sunday school answer was, wasn't it? What's the point of this? Jesus. Doesn't matter what the question was, Jesus was always the answer. I want us to think a little bit, very briefly, about Mary's situation, the end of that video that we had there, from John 20. About Mary's experience with the risen Jesus. She was the first to actually have an encounter with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And look what happens. He calls her by name. He restores their relationship. And he commissions her. Why is this so important? Well, I think it's so important because these are reasons to truly celebrate. These are reasons why we truly want to celebrate. Because of are being called by name, and our relationship being restored with him, and being commissioned. And so we're going to look at each one. Before we look at being called by name, we have a video. Another video. I went to town this week because I thought, you know, let's go for it. This is from Indiana Jones. This is the very last scene of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Good. Right. I want the reason I played you that is I want you to notice something. Did you notice how, if you know the film, you'll know that Henry Jones, who is Sean Connery, calls Indiana Jones, his son, Junior. That's because in the film he goes, why do you call him Junior? Henry Jones, Junior. Because Indiana Jones is Henry Jones, Junior. And if you notice in the film, Indiana Jones doesn't like being called Junior. He doesn't like that. That's not his name. His name is Indiana. And you notice in the clip there, he was trying to get the Holy Grail to stop it from going down in the thing. And his dad's holding him, and he's saying, Junior, give me your other hand, I can't hold you. And then he says, Indiana. And did you notice that he changed? Harrison Ford suddenly looks around and says, oh, hang on a minute, he's calling me by my name. And there's a difference in his response. If he kept calling him Junior, he might have lost his life. But he didn't. Instead, he decided his life was more important than a cup, which probably doesn't really exist anyway. But there we go. Well, this is what happened with Mary in this passage in John 20. I love the phrase that Sally Lloyd-Jones wrote there. Only one person ever said her name like that. You know, when you have somebody that you love dearly, they say your name in a particular way, don't they? They say it in a way that you can recognize that it's only said by them in that way. And we recognize their voice. And Jesus said this of his people. He said, my sheep know me and they hear my voice. Friends, we have cause to celebrate this morning on Resurrection Sunday because he knows your name. He knows your name. And what is more, he is always calling your name. And this is great because it shows that we are completely accepted by him. What a reason to celebrate. And the second reason to celebrate is the relationship is restored. Jesus dies and Mary's world just seems to fall apart. And we know what the sting of death is like. Some of us are definitely not strangers to it. And Mary had a very special relationship with Jesus because Jesus cast 7 demons out of her. Mary is not the sinful woman who anointed Jesus' feet. Mary is not Lazarus's sister. This is Mary of Magdala. Mary out of whom he cast 7 demons. Luke is very clear about that. She was one of the women that funded Jesus' ministry. Jesus was very important to Mary. Very, very important to her. One of her closest friends dies. Their friendship, in her mind, their relationship is gone, never to be had again. It's as though something inside her has perished. And then she's in the garden, all prepared to go and anoint his body with spices, and he's back from the dead, speaking her name. Calling her, loving her again. The friend that she thought she'd lost forever is back. The relationship that was lost is now found. What was broken has been fixed, repaired. I wonder if any of you have a story of losing someone in your life only to find them again. I'm not talking about someone who died and was resurrected, although I'm quite happy to have that possibility. But maybe you had somebody that you lost contact with over the long years because of whatever reason. I mean, here's a silly example. When I was small, sort of Zoe's age, I would go to the supermarket with my mother. And in the States, they're quite big supermarkets, you know, one of these giant ones, a bit like Tesco and Trowbridge, even bigger than that, some of them. And she would have this knack of, I would have this knack, I still do it today, of looking at something on the shelf and completely losing track of anything around me and just being totally engrossed in whatever it was I was looking at. And so she'd have moved on and gone to the next aisle or whatever, and I have no idea where she was. I would lose her, but then I'd find her again. It'd be fine. I'd go and look down. I'd go on the end of the aisles and look down all the aisles to try and find her again. It's not as bad as my sister, though, my older sister. She had a habit of running away and losing my mother. And so to teach her a lesson, my mother decided that she would leave her there. So she went home, brought the shopping home, unpacked it all, and then went back to the store to fetch her. It's a bit cruel, I think, but my sister never lost her again. It's a silly example, but it's of losing something and then finding it again. And the joy that you have, and the relief, and the kind of all of those emotions that come to the fore when that happens. You see, what happened with Mary and Jesus happens with us and Jesus. You see, before we knew Jesus properly, and I'm not talking about those of us that grew up in the church and we kind of knew about Jesus and we knew the stories, but before we actually knew him properly, to know him, our relationship was broken. Paul says in Ephesians 2 very clearly, we were dead in our transgressions and sins. And then it says a couple of verses later, but God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive together with Christ. In Christ, our relationship with our, well, I love this phrase, with our best dad. You know people that call their parents on Mother's and Father's Day, they say their best mum or best dad. Our relationship with our best dad is restored again. We undergo our own personal spiritual resurrection. But God made us alive together with Christ, and our bodies will follow when Jesus comes back. We are completely and utterly secure in Jesus. What a reason to celebrate. What a reason to celebrate. And the last thing, Mary is commissioned with purpose. He tells her that you can't cling to me because you've got a job to do. Go and tell my brothers that I'm ascending to the Father, he tells her. And look at Mary's response. The text of Scripture doesn't make it clear, but I have no doubt that what we saw in the Jesus Storybook Bible is absolutely true. She ran. There is no way that she was keeping that news to herself, and there is no way that she would have walked nice and politely going, oh, I better go and tell Jesus is alive. That's marvelous, isn't it? There's no way she did that. She was Jewish. She ran. She went for it. Jesus gives her a little commission. And he does the same thing with us. We are equipped only to be the people that he has made us to be. No good trying to be somebody that you're not. I'll give you an example of that. I was trying to work out how to do something. And I was asking lots of people and getting ideas from the internet about how to do it. And I suddenly realized, and I just couldn't do it. Whatever this thing was, I just couldn't get it done. And then I suddenly realized I was trying to do it the way other people would do it. And then I suddenly realized, do it the way you would do it, Ian. And then I suddenly clicked, and it happened. Because I had to do it the way that I was equipped to do it. We have our strengths, our gifts, our talents given to us as gifts to use for God. What's more, he's given all of us the same job to use our talents for the same purpose, that is. Tell people he's back. Tell everyone he's back. And many of us look with this, with fear and trepidation, and we say, I can't tell people. I'm too afraid. Or I'll bring the gospel into disrepute because I don't have all the answers. Or I'm not good with words. Friends, we've been commissioned to go. And our motivation shouldn't be human. In other words, we shouldn't be motivated by our fear. Oh, well, I must do something because I have to. But then I'm looking at my limitations, so I don't know if I can do it. But instead, we look at it the way Mary did. She had to look when Jesus called her. She had to shield her eyes for a minute because the sun was perhaps in her eyes. But she had to look at Jesus. And if we're looking at him, we'll have all the motivation we need. Here's a story. A missionary physician in one of China's hospitals cured a man of cataracts. So, of course, if you've ever had cataracts and you have a cataract removed, you'll know the joy of being able to see again very clearly. And I was talking to somebody the other week, and she said, I hadn't realized how bad it got, because they grow gradually. So this missionary cured this bloke of cataracts, and a few weeks later, 48 blind men came to the doctor from one of China's wilds, all holding onto a rope guided by the man who had been cured. He had led them in this way, walking in a chain of 250 miles to the hospital. The multitude may appear indifferent to their condition, but let not this discourage us, for many are fumbling blindly after light, and it is our happy mission to tenderly and tirelessly seek after them. You know, we often call people who don't know Jesus seekers. That's the wrong way around. They're not seeking. We are seeking them. Jesus is seeking them. They're not seeking anything. Some people are looking, but they're not necessarily seeking. Jesus said, I came to seek and find that which was lost. And he's given us the job to do. and with these blind men in China. And this one guy who said, I know some blind people, let's take them to the doctor. And he gets a rope and says, come on, let's go. They haven't got a clue what's going on. They can't see, they don't know. He had good news for them. Good news that someone could make them see again. When we are commissioned, we are given a sense of purpose and significance. Something to do. Something that God has called us to do, and that gives us life. It gives a life a purpose and a meaning. So we see through these three little things that Jesus does with Mary. Significance, security, and acceptance. And if you've done the Freedom in Christ course, you'll have heard those words before. This is good news to celebrate. And this is why we celebrate today. Because we have good news. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. God, our Father, we bless you for good news to celebrate. We thank you for this story of Mary, who thought she'd lost everything, but she finds Jesus. Jesus finds her again. And she is lifted up out of her sorrow. She is called by name. She's commissioned, and the relationship with Jesus is restored. And Jesus, we give you thanks for that. That you do that for us. You call us by name. And you are always calling us by name. And I thank you that our relationship, when we first trusted in you, Jesus, was restored. And inwardly, our inner being, which was dead, is now alive in Christ. And I thank you that that relationship can be restored. And I thank you that you call us to lead other people into that very self-same relationship. And Father, I pray that we would be faithful witnesses to your good news and bless you by the living of our lives and be blessed by the calling of our name and the relationship that's been restored. Thank you that you are alive, Jesus, and you've risen again. And thank you that we, who were once dead, have now been raised to life, and that at the last we will be raised in bodily form. Lord, we bless you and we thank you for this good news. Make us faithful witnesses to share it in Jesus' name. Amen.